He is worthy.
He is.
To receive all the glory. And I'm thinking on another line, because of his blood, he's made you and I worthy. That means a lot to some of us who were told all our lives we were no good and wouldn't amount to anything. I kind of like the new me better. I don't know about you. I hope you like the new you better. Yes. Amen. Well, let's continue on. We just began a new series, Fail-Proof Living, from 2 Peter chapter 1 in the first 10 verses. And last week we were talking about three key areas that we need to be willing to let the Holy Spirit deal with us in our lives to move forward now with the new life that he's given us. Changing lifestyles or behavior patterns that may have been ingrained in us from the time we were born. Not willing to let go of the past with all its hurts. We talked about that. You can't hold on to the past, because if you do, it'll hurt your future. Sometimes in ministry, one of the most difficult things is sometimes for certain ones to be able to let go of things. And it's so difficult if the conversation keeps coming back to that and you know the person is not beyond that yet. And the other one is not willing to forgive. And taking responsibility for our lives. No more blaming others' games. We need to be people of God who take responsibility for our lives and our actions, because now we've been given a new opportunity, if you will, to live a life that's the quality of life is so much greater. And our future looks really bright as well. We don't have a doom and gloom future. It might get bumpy along the way a little bit, but we just got to hang on to him. And we will survive very nicely. We talked about some of the truths about scriptures like that one on the board over there. When you come to Christ, you become a new creation. All things are passed away. Most of my life, when someone died, we said they passed away. Well, when you got saved, the old you died, and you were there. But you know, at the time it happens, if we're not told, we don't know. And so it's possible to bring a lot of stuff into our new faith, stuff that needs to be dealt with, if we don't leave it at the cross at the time we get saved, because that's the greatest time of all, when we're the most sensitive, the most aware of the Spirit's wooing and drawing us. When we make him Lord of our lives, that means other things have to go. They pass away, they die. And we started looking at some scriptures pertaining to that truth about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And I know that might be old to some of you, but it's a wonderful reminder that once you've put him off, he's dead. He's the old man, the old sin nature that we were born with. That's why we always, as parents, have to teach our kids to do right. They're born knowing how to do evil already. They know how to lie. No is the first word. Did you do that? No. They just know. And so that indicates these scriptures are very true. So the new man is made in the image of Christ. We put off the old man and we put on the new man. And so these are good scriptures to renew our minds to, because the sin nature is no longer a part of our being. When we sin now, it's because thoughts got in the way and our bodies responded and says, yep, that's a great idea. And then you both come into agreement, your mind and your flesh, or our minds, our flesh. And then we have a conspiracy on our hands to battle. So we don't we don't sin by sin nature anymore. It's not natural. It's not our nature. That man is the one that died, and that's why I went back to show you some things that Paul wrote. We were going to look at Romans chapter 6. That's where we were going to go last week. First starting today, Romans chapter 6. And these are really, really good if you are involved, especially in soul winning or witnessing to others. These are good scriptures to have to help us in our ministry to others, to help explain to them what's about to happen when they make Jesus Christ the Lord of their lives. It's dying to the old man and living for the new man. Romans chapter 6. This chapter is really, really good because it goes into great detail about explaining the battle between the flesh and the spirit and how to overcome those issues. It isn't easy to do that in our own strength, because if we could, we wouldn't have needed to get saved. We would have already arrived and been there in the victory chair. But as long as we live in these earth suits, we're always, our flesh is always going to be tempted to take the easy way out, because it likes to be pampered. It likes to be babied. It doesn't like to hear the word no. I like to use fasting as an example. It's a great way to discipline our flesh, because the biggest thing that cries is our bellies. And when we hear it, give me food, you got to come to that place where you can say to your stomach, in the name of Jesus, you shut up. You don't tell me when you're going to eat. I tell you when you're going to eat, and I'm telling you what you're going to get. And that's the end of the matter. Because that's the spirit man speaking with authority that he has over his flesh. Renewing the mind is really important as well. And we'll talk about that too as we go along, because this life that Peter talked about, fail-proof living, versus when, if you add all these things to your faith, he said, you'll come to that place in your walk where you'll never fall. I don't know how many people I've heard say, well, you got to fall a few times. Well, not necessarily. It depends on what book you're reading. It depends on who you're taking your advice from. I kind of really like what the Holy Spirit said. We talked about the tattoos, born to lose. Well, if I could get one now, it would be born again to win. So Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And I made the comment last week that we died and we were raised to life, new life in Christ. That's the first resurrection. The second one is when the Lord comes back and the time comes when we get a new body. That's the second resurrection. But as born again believers, you've already experienced the first one. And I don't know, maybe you never thought about that perspective of what really happened. The old you and I died, and we were buried. But out of that tomb came a new you, came a new me. We were resurrected. We were raised to walk in newness of life. I illustrated this on a missions trip to Africa, and I had to have an interpreter, but I used props. And we faked a funeral in front of all this congregation. We even had had people dressed in white gloves to bring in. Yes, we had a casket. It was a pine box. But people in third world countries never hear these things. And they're still prone to witch doctors and magic and voodoo and spells being put on them. And they're Christians, and they don't know any of these things. So we went through this whole thing about dying with Christ. But when he was raised up, we were also raised up in him. And that's a powerful truth. Never to die again. Yes, our earthly body will die, but not the spirit. It's the spirit that's eternal, not our flesh. Just like the Bible says that we were created from the dust of the earth, and we will return to the dust of the earth. So we can't get a big head. We started with dirt, and we'll go back to dirt, so don't get a big head. Just rejoice. Rejoice because that's not the end for us. For if we've been planted together, verse 5, in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That's really the important part of that. That henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. These are really important truths to help somebody maybe who's just come to the Lord, or you may be involved in discipling somebody, a new believer. But it's so important that they learn these things. See, I like to talk with you because we're all co-ministers. We all have ministries and gifts and talents and skills, but the ultimate goal is to portray Christ to others. And if we haven't learned to die to ourselves, it's very difficult to set that example for somebody else. So the next time something is giving you a problem that wants to get a hold of you and pull you back into something. Drugs never tempted me again. I did all of them there were until my heart stopped once. And I decided that wasn't a good thing. But only Christ set me free from the urge to go longer than 3 days without something. And that's just an example. When I knew that the old sin nature of Rick died and that I was a new creation in Christ, a new man in Christ, I didn't need all of those crutches anymore. I didn't need all of the excuses anymore. I didn't need things to cover up hurts from my childhood. I didn't need anything anymore. Just him. And I came to that very early in my faith, like about 15 minutes after I was saved. Because I was told the truth at that moment. A lot of times, people don't have that opportunity. You get saved at a Billy Graham rally or other crusades, and unless people follow up with you, you're like almost like stillborns in the kingdom. And we don't want to be that way. This has always been a word church, a word teaching church to each other, to equip us for the work of the ministry. That's the focus of Renewed Life. We're not like, we never came here and planted this church to be like all the others. We want it to be very biblical in our teaching and in why we're even here, that we're here with a purpose and a reason. And that people come here because they're drawn. We can go out and beat the woods and, oh, come to our church. Well, it's not ours. His name's on the sign. Renewed Life in Jesus. Even the name plants a seed. That was with purpose. That was by design. So when we come across scriptures like this to help people in their walk, that's why we have teachings like this, to bolster us and to remind us. How many times have you seen in the scriptures where Jesus said, again I say unto you? Or Paul would say, I put you in remembrance. It's good to revisit these because we're always waiting for a new word. I mean, we're just wired that way. We want something new. We want something new. It's like at Christmas, I never strive to come up with a new Christmas message because there aren't any. There's only one. Gospel of Luke, right? Yeah. That's the message. So this is helpful. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 24. It's a whole chapter about the unity of the Spirit, the new life in Christ. If you were to put a title to certain chapters, we spent a long time in Bible study Wednesday night in the book of Ephesians. And if I'm not mistaken, I think we started it on August 13th, 2011. and we're in chapter 6. That's because we got carried away a few weeks and just, I don't know, you start talking about these things and then you want to take rabbit trails. Anybody ever do that in your reading, in your devotions? You find scriptures and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit reminds you, oh, there's another one back here that goes with this. So you go there and then from there you go someplace else. And we spend a lot of time in our Bible studies like that because it helps us get familiar with other supportive scriptures. Well, what's the benefit of that? You might not be able to memorize them all at once, but if you can memorize one, that'll help you out of a jam. And it'll also point you to the others. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Paul said that you put off concerning the former conversation or the lifestyle of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Corrupt in two senses. One, the old man's going to die, whether we want him to or not. And the other thing, corrupt, means the body will decay and go back to the dust of the earth. Corrupt also means to be contaminated with the sin nature. So there's no point in hanging on to those things because they don't speak of life, they speak of death. But the new man in Christ speaks of life. And we're about life and the quality of life. And he talks in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Romans 12:2 talks about, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you might know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So it's important that we continuously bathe our minds in the Word. That's why I don't usually preach anything of myself, at least not knowingly. I got to have the Word because I want to be brainwashed as often as possible. When the washing of the water of the Word, if we read on in chapter 5, he talks about the washing of water of the Word. It washes bad thoughts out and it renews our spirit so that our mind and our spirit are one with the Father now, so that we begin to think the thoughts of God. We begin to understand. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. And it comes by learning His Word, knowing His Word, sharing His Word together, teaching each other the Word, so that opportunities to stumble become less and less, and the opportunities to succeed become more and more. We're in it to win it, because Jesus already went before us, and He showed us the way. So now we see verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And in my example, I taught that like a parable in Africa. I always like to go to these really remote villages where most people don't go. Dirt floors in the churches. It doesn't matter. You go barefoot when you're there anyway. Why dirty up a good pair of shoes? No. By teaching this example, the family I stayed with, the father had a 12-acre coffee plantation. He had tea and coffee plants. And he was very particular about the quality of the tea in Kenya. And he required of his workers only the top 3 leaves. Don't go stuffing your backpack with all these leaves. You only pick the top 3. And he would make them dump them out on a sorting tray. And he would warn them once, if there were more than 3 leaves in that cluster, he would fire them. Because he had a standard of quality. Excuse me. And the coffee was the same. But he had a white coat for working in the laboratory in the coffee trader's house. So I borrowed one of his white coats, and I had a really dark coat. I was told it was August, it was winter time in Africa, to bring my winter clothes. So I brought a dark winter jacket. But before I presented this old man, new man, I gathered scriptures together of the qualifications. What was the old man like? What was his character like? And then I did the new man, and I wrote them out, and I tore them in little strips, and I had a helper. We had the funeral with the guy in the black coat. We did it. We sang Amazing Grace to the box over here, the pine box. And somebody came up, we had it all arranged to lay some flowers and to really get this through to these people, because they didn't know any different. They didn't know anything. And this truth was so helpful. And so then I took the new man. Oh, yeah. Oh, we took those scriptures out. I said, so let me see. What are the qualifications now of the new man? And I'd go over and I'd pull out one from the shirt pocket over here. Oh. Wow. You've been created in the image of the Father. You've been created in righteousness and true holiness. That's who you are. And we went down through all of these one at a time. They weren't many. I mean, like five of each, the old man, the new man. But when you put it in a graphic parable or a prop, if you will, I did the sower and the seed in India with a bean and a stone and a little bit of sand and some thorn bushes and some flowers to illustrate these truths. We haven't done that here in a long time because it's pretty much obvious that we don't need thorns and flowers to impress ourselves with. But for the purposes of illustration, those can be very helpful. And I just throw those out to you because I know three people right now that come here once in a while that have not even yet learned these things about the new man and the old man, and they've been saved for 15 years. But they don't attend any church. They choose not to. They've fallen for the lie of the devil, they're all the same. Well, they're not. So, forgive me if I bore you with these truths, but they're important because my purpose is not so much for your sake, but for others, because the prophecies of things that are coming to pass, I believe that we're going to be really going to be needful in our communities when things really get squeezed and really get rough and tough, and people aren't going to find any answers anywhere except in Christ and those who preach Him. That's where we come in. That's where the body of Christ has a part to play in that. So we need some ammo, if you will, to help them replace what they grew up on, what they were nourished with, what they thought about, what they did, what filled their lives. And these are really good little nuggets that you can just write them down and keep them. Put them in your notes for the person that comes along and says, Mom, I never agreed with you about all this stuff, but, your sister. She's going to be watching you. And these are good things that you can keep track of. Mark them. Write them down. Because even some of our family members aren't saved yet. And they look at us and think we're really out there. Well, we are. We really are. But it's a great place to be. To know. To know our futures. To know what the Lord has in store for us. And it's a glorious hope and a glorious future. And God has a wonderful plan for each life. So next week, we're going to start getting into 2 Peter, and we're going to start going line by line through these. And how many of you have an Amplified Bible? Do any of you have Amplified Bibles? Okay. Aaron, do we have Amplified in the computer? Will we have access to it on? We can't pull it up from the website, from Bible.com or whatever it's called. Crosswalk? Okay, because one of the reasons I want to use the Amplified for this is because, as an example, verse 5, it says, adding your diligence to the divine promises in verses 3 and 4 above, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy. And so the Amplified brings out that it's a growing process, but it is a process. It's like when you have a favorite recipe at home, add to what you started with, and you add all these different ingredients, and if you're faithful to follow the recipe, you're going to put a dish on the table that's absolutely awesome, and everybody's going to enjoy what you made. Well, Peter is talking about that too. Our lives, we add to faith because faith is what we start with. And we add virtue to that. But the Amplified indicates that while the Lord is developing that within us, we're exercising it and we're developing something else. So we grow in stages. And so it's a wonderful revelation that Peter had. Not bad for a fisherman, huh? And by the time we get to the end of it, you look back and you won't see those verses the same anymore, because they kind of stick with you after a while. So that you better understand the process and how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. A lot of people that don't come to a Pentecostal church get very fidgety and nervous when you start talking about the Holy Spirit, if you haven't noticed. He's more like an it rather than the third person of the Trinity. But we know that he's the one that empowers us. I bought my widow plant. That's all right, Ken. I'll pick up the pieces later. That's what Jesus says. Don't worry, I'll pick up the pieces later. Wow, where were we going with that? Probably out the front door in a few minutes. Thank you. Oh, glory. Praying with power, yes. It's the Holy Spirit that is the power factor that enables us to walk this life out. So it's true, I'm guilty of that. I really am. But did you ever read Benny Hinn's book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit? Wow, that guy got raked through the coals by all the religious theologians all over the world because he took the time. We're not supposed to pray to the Holy Spirit, but Benny Hinn says there's nothing wrong with thanking him. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. You see, God's on the throne and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, but the Holy Spirit is here and now. And he dwells within each of us because the blood of Jesus made a holy temple for the Holy Spirit to live in. And I have no problem thanking him from time to time. If that's prayer, well, then that's a prayer of thanksgiving.